If what you want is real, Relevant Hunting, you are in the right place. With moderator Josh Miller, owner of Triple Point Outdoors, co-host Kevin Cook, owner of the Outdoor Pro Shop, and Brian Keitlinger, athlete and creator of Left in the Field Outdoors. Welcome to the Reinvent the Hunt podcast.
Welcome back to the Reinvent the Hunt podcast. It's already episode 11. We want to thank everybody for over 5,000 downloads so far. It's been really awesome. It's been a lot of fun talking to you guys out there and connecting. And we have an awesome show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. We have Jeremiah, who owns Bullfrog Bow Fishing. And Enterprise, is that out of Maryland, Jeremiah?
Maryland. Yes, it is.
Okay. So we're looking forward to learning a lot about this. I know absolutely almost nothing about bow fishing. I've been bow hunting whitetail my whole life and turkey chasing around here in Ohio. So it'll be a lot of fun to talk to you. We've got the usual hosts, Brian Keitlinger from Left in the Field Outdoors and PA over there. And we've got Kevin Cook from the Outdoor Pro Shop as normal. Kevin, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I've been chasing turkeys here in Ohio. I'm already annoyed as crap and ready to give up. went out once and had four come in, and they're like, they see everything. So I thought, my dad's like, get one. And I'm like, grab the bow. I'm getting ready. I got the release hooked on, you know. And I look over and they go, poo, the other way. I'm like, you guys suck, every single one of you.
Smartest dumb birds.
They are. They're so ridiculous. And so we tried calling, and they gobbled while walking away, and they just kept on walking. So, but it was fun getting out and a good time with my dad. Of course, I got to remember that's what it's about, is getting out and enjoying time with your dad. And not getting too frustrated. So, Brian, the same way down there, you're getting ready to start this weekend?
Yeah, the youth season was last Saturday. Didn't hear many youth getting, it wasn't great weather. It's been beautiful all week. This week I've been walking the dogs in the morning and scouting before work, listening, you know, for roosted birds, and just deployed some cameras here today and some strutting areas I've seen. But yeah, we start Saturday. My son's coming home from college, I think Thursday night, tomorrow night, from his freshman year of college, and he's all excited. And he's like, oh, but it's supposed to rain. I said, well, then we just go set up near a field. We know where to go. So we'll maybe throw a blind up, but yeah, it gets to be a long season and a long, I usually get up every day before school. I got to be at school by 7:20. So it gives me about a good hour and 10 minutes to try and knock something down. So
I hear you.
We'll give it heck and see what happens.
That's awesome. Well, I want to introduce Jeremiah again from Bullfrog Bow Fishing. Jeremiah, I'm going to let you kind of take it over and talk to us about what you do, how you do it, everything there is to it, because it's really interesting to me and I can't wait to learn about it tonight.
So yeah, we have something here in Maryland called the Northern Snakehead. So it started way back from what we heard. There was a pond in Crawlton. It was real close to the Potomac River. They come out of the pond somehow. They moved from the Potomac River to something called Dorchester County Blackwater. So they said they couldn't move up the bay. These things have adapted. They moved up the bay. 5 years ago, it was during COVID. I'm just out there fishing for something called striped bass. Get back to the ramp. This guy's got this bow fishing rig set up. And I asked if he had room during COVID. It's a little tight. I said, well, I have a few spots that I fish rod and reel. You know, if you'd be able to fit me on the boat, I would, you know, show you my spots or help you, you know. So after a good bit of talk, and he says, let's go. Or I paid him. It's like $175. So we go out. We shoot his spots. I had hit my first one at his spot. Then we moved to where it was almost like I knew I might have seen him because I caught him rod and reel. So it's kind of behind my house, and it ended up being a honey hole. They were here, there. So when I was fishing for them rod and reel, they're real finicky. So I didn't go out at nighttime with lights. I really didn't know how many were there until that night. I went that night. I told him, I definitely would do this again. I'm going to pay, whatever. I built my own rig. I took two canoes, 8x8 deck, and started there. Started taking some buddies. I'm a big archery hunter. So once I did it once, I was hooked. It was just like I said, two canoes bolted together, right out back the house, no big motor. And then the following year, I had hooked my Carolina skiff up, put lights on it, and started there. Did like 2-3 years like that. And then said, this is what I want to do. This guy that's doing it, you know, I'd like to be able to do that one day. 5 years later now, after learning these fish, learning spots, I think I was ready to go. So got in touch with somebody that could build me a logo. I did my captain's course, got my captain's license to be able to take six people.
That's cool.
So these guys shooting like eight guys. But to be honest, there are four or five guys sitting back waiting. They'll rotate. So four shooters, you got two up front. And if they miss, you'll have two guys to clean up. And I used to work at Conowingo Dam, so my time frame for them was perfect. They have this fish ladder, and they get up in there so thick, they would sort them out, and they donate them to a food bank. Well, just by the numbers, I could see, you know, four or five in a fish ladder. And then it was almost you could walk across. So these fish, they breed 3 to 4 times a year. If you think about another fish, it's like 1,500, maybe 800 yield, something like that. These fish have a 30,000 yield and breed 3 to 4 times a year.
Oh,
okay. So the numbers are just growing. First year, the majority of the fish were like 5 to 8 pounds, the majority. And then following year is like 12 pounds, the majority. We're up to like 15 pounds, the majority of the fish you see. You know, way back, I have a buddy, Cass County, owns snakeheadlife.com. And he's been trying to talk to these biologists, and because he don't have that college education, he doesn't know anything. Had all already said they're going to move up the bay. They're going to be in all the tributaries, but they couldn't go through saltwater. Well, he proved them wrong. He's a big influence with me. He had set me up with, there's the Eastern Shore, and I'm on the Western Shore. There's only one other guy licensed on the Western Shore with me. It's the guy that I want with, outdoors, working class outdoorsman. So working with him, we had, you know, shared spots, whatever it was. I wanted to be out. If I took a group of guys out, they're going to get 50 to 75 shots. Majority of your shots are within 7 yards, sometimes straight down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I take all kinds. I like to take the youth out. That's one of the most enjoyable for me. I've taken some veterans out, a couple handicapped. That's what I want to do, is get the youth out for one. So they were trying to think about what's the best way to keep these numbers down, because they're eating all the native fish. You know, there was no, you would say, predator to them. They may eat their own, and they do, but say the mom's fathers won't eat their own, but other snakes come in. And what they have is something called a fry ball. And you'll be out on the water and you'll just see this big black circle. And once you get close, you realize it's just a bunch of hatchlings that just hatched and get up to about 1.5 inches. And underneath is the mom and father. So when I would see these rod and reel, I would cast, they wouldn't hit, I had caught about 3 before I got into bow fishing. Like, there's not that many, is what I'm thinking. But when you see these, I'm thinking maybe they just get eaten. But you have to really aggravate them. You have to make them mad. That's when they'll hit a lure.
Okay.
They don't want to hit my lures. So now I force feed
them. It sounds more fun anyway.
Yeah. Force feeding is the way to go.
That's cool.
And that's what is going to keep these numbers down. So first year, I might have seen 1 or 2 of these rigs out back the house. One person told another one. And it looks like 2 or 3 UFOs out there at all times at night. One guy told another. So that's how I have wanted to take it slow. I changed rivers. Susquehanna is a big one. That's where the Conowingo Dam is. But you need an aluminum boat to fish that. So I had built the aluminum rig. You know, I welded a deck on it. And I shoot more fish off that than the skiff. But I'm having the skiff wrapped right now. I had somebody generate a wrap for me, logo, all that, and really excited about doing what I want to do.
It's awesome. It's
something that I've dreamt of. So I was working at Conowingo. I had put in for a position. Long story short, didn't work out. I'm down at the airport now. But I was working 6 and 7 days a week at Conowingo. So now you got to get out there at night. You're going to work next day, no sleep. So everything happened for a reason. I ended up airport working 4 tens, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. I can shoot, not have to get up for work. So it's going to be an exciting season. This is everything I've been wanting to do.
That's awesome.
I want to eradicate these things. War on snakehead.
I'll tell you what, it's awesome to hear your story, because I think, you know, it's all of us, probably every one of us sitting here, you know, we all have a dream and we all have a, I love the outdoors and just doing things that, that drive us, you know, to get out of the doors and hunt, fish, whatever we're doing. And not only are you taking care, I mean, it's, they're an invasive species, right?
Yes.
I mean,
they
so
are invasive species. And if you catch one, you cannot transport it live. You have to cut the gill plate. It used to be you couldn't release them. And now you have these gas lighters, whatever you want to call them. They're making these videos of catching one, releasing them. It fires me up. You know, we have commercial fishermen out here that's been taking a toll, like hurting their pocket because their pounds are way down. Your white perch, your yellow perch, they don't really fish the bluegill for commercial, but crabs, anything. They have knocked numbers down. And the way I see it, my grandfather was a waterman, so I know all about what's happening right now. And ain't nothing more that I want to do is take these things out. I know I can't do it myself, but
yeah,
I feel good doing it.
Well, as I always say, you know, who's the best conservationist? And it's hunters and fishermen. I mean, you know, we care about what we're doing. We want to see that game and those fish out there for generations to come. And so we understand, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, honestly, it's like anything. You talk to the expert in that field who's living that every day and dealing with those animals and, you know, those snakehead. I mean, if they're invasive, you're doing everything in service. Get out there and getting those out of it.
Let me add to, they're one of the best eating fish too.
I was about to say,
you are what you eat.
I've heard.
I'll tell you right now, if I had to compare it to another fish, it's right there with flounder. I'm not sure if you guys have.
Yeah, sir.
Or halibut.
I have. Yep.
Okay. So one real quick, I had went to a cookout. We had smoked some fish up. I had a halibut tray and I had a snakehead tray. And I didn't say which was which. They couldn't tell the difference. It was dense white meat, flaky. And I make snake cakes. I don't know if you ever heard of crab cakes, but I let it cool. And next day, I put my recipe for crab cakes, took them into work, and they can't tell from crab cake to snake head.
That's awesome. That sounds good really good. I know.
That's the best thing about it is, you know, the restaurants are now serving it, so the demand of it's going to be great.
Good.
That's absolutely awesome.
I'm part of a group for Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writers Association. It's a mix of Maryland and PA. And we had our conference 2 years ago down there. And one of the guys who came in and spoke to us, it was all about snakehead. And he, you know, brought in some, cooked it up. And I'm not a huge fish person. I do like flounder. I do like halibut, perch, walleye. And, you know, that the snakehead stuff was absolutely fantastic. I was like blown away by how good it was. I mean, it's fantastic.
I'm fired up. I can't wait to get down there now.
I'm excited to take Maryland guy on the podcast here talking about snakehead.
Are you familiar with them, Kevin? Have you heard of it?
Oh, absolutely.
But have you had
there every weekend?
Have you had it yet? Have you eaten it?
Oh yeah,
snakehead.
Ah, yeah.
Good.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good. It's like you said, best tasting fish around here.
That's crazy. I can't wait because I know
you're to find a better one
around here. You know, I my number one fish around here is like walleye. I absolutely love walleye because it's that white meat, flaky, dense meat. It's real mild. Like I can't, you know, I love the bluegill, of course. You know, you can't beat a bluegill. I mean, you just can't beat a pan fried bluegill. But like bass to me, bass is a little bit strong for me. Honestly, I like to fish them, not eat them. I'll be honest. Salmon, I like if it's smoked, but I don't like salmon. I don't like salmon cooked on a slab. I just don't like it. It's too irony for me. But I tell you what, like a mild fish like that, sir, you know, I can't wait to get down there.
Yes. So walleye and yellow perch is one of my favorites.
Yes, sir.
And then your saltwater, I almost eat it all. Love the saltwater. And that's snakehead is almost right there with your mahi-mahi, you know, flounder, all that. So,
okay. Well, that's good to know. I think it's good that people understand that out there too, because you have invasive species that taste so good. Why are we not using them? It's the same thing like we talk about on this podcast quite a bit. You know, wild game with the cost of food in today's world, everybody's doing it. Why are we not using our resources, you know, respectfully to feed the population? Yeah.
Yep. I got a question for Jeremiah. So you're a bow hunter yourself. What guidance do you give people who have never bow fished before on about refraction and aiming and, you know, how far,
underneath,
you know, do you aim below and, you know, fill me in on that. I'm very interested in that.
So, you know, if anyone is an instinct shooter, that's pretty much the only way you're going to be quick and be able to do it. So you're fishing these shallows, and good majority of the time, so these fish are sleeping at night. These carp out there are taking off as you're going through. Snakeheads, 90% of them just stay there. And when I say I've had some be able to almost put the arrow right on them, that's the truth, straight down. But now you get into deeper water, clear water. Yes, you have a deflection, and you need to aim about 6 inches low at about a foot deep and so on. But it's all feel. Once you get the surface down, once you're able to hit, just say, a water bottle over and over, instinct on the surface, you can adjust to the deeper. And then you have murky, so you use your amber lights and see a little more in the murk, and then your LEDs working clear a little better just for the reflection. But your shots are within 7 yards. I mean, it's almost, it's a shooting fish in a barrel.
Now, is there a limit per day you can have, or is it unlimited?
Say that.
Is there a limit on the fish per day you can get, or is it
unlimited? No limit.
No limit, so, okay.
Up there in Susquehanna, I could shoot between 20 to 30. These other tributaries, I'm shooting between 15, 20. I'm not always about shooting. I'm about taking people out, letting them shoot, and having a good time, you know, if they mess, you know, give them a little bit of crap, whatever.
Give them a little bit, yeah.
I got a good buddy that, excellent fisherman, rod and reel. I mean, one of the best. And he just struggles with the bow fishing. Where he's on me about the rod and reel. And I got all these videos. And his first one, he's all excited. He want to take pictures. So these things, they say they walk on land, but they don't walk on land, but they move on land. They can. So he gets his fish in. He's excited. Puts him up on the deck, and the way these tips work is they're facing, you know, like this. You loosen it, and then you're able to pull it out. Well, he pulls it out. It's up on the deck. He's getting his camera, right? He's going to get these pictures. This thing climbs off the deck, goes back in the water, and he says, oh, my God, I didn't get a picture. I'm like, a picture of what? My snakehead. I said, I didn't see no
freaking snakehead of the boat.
His first one, I'm telling you, he might have 3 in 5 years. It's just a good old time. It's awesome. Not that hard. You know, I've seen him shoot logs. If it's a carp, he'll hit it all day long. It's just like buck fever with a snakehead for him. Just a good time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of good camaraderie too out there. Probably a lot of words flying around, I'm sure. You miss one.
So we're listening to music. You're running a generator. Every now and then you'll have one swim off on you, but they're sleeping. They're literally asleep at night, and it's just a good time.
That sounds like
that's gonna be my next question. Is like, I know how finicky these fish are during the day. Like, they'll see your shadow, like when you're walking on land, and they're gone. That's how they stay put. They're sleeping at night.
So yeah, during the day, that's actually what you do is sight fish them. So they breathe air. They'll come to the surface,
right?
Almost look like a turtle, and mm-hmm. drop back down. So when I was working at Conowingo, and there's so many of them doing it, they're gulping, and they just have to breathe air. So when you're out there in the daytime, you're sight fishing these things and just making them mad is what you got to do. Topwater, frog, it's one of the best because it's weedless. That's where they're at. They're in the frag grass, seaweed. But, just a good old time.
Sounds like a blast. For an Ohio boy like me that's not spent a lot of time on the water, I'm used to pond fishing, so that sounds like an absolute lot of fun.
Yeah, so quick story is my father's out in Illinois, and he's not big on mosquitoes, but they're not really that bad. So when he comes into town, I'm like, hey, let's do this. But he uses a crossbow. So you give him this bow, and he's not the bow. So I have built a gig. So when I take people out and I see they're struggling, I'll say, just go ahead and gig one. Get one in the boat, and then bow fish from there.
Okay.
But he'd rather gig them. My father is gigging them. So, yeah.
That'd be fun, too, though.
Yeah.
It would be.
We built a gig, too, down Dorchester.
You just take your daily aggression out, you know?
Blackwater, that's right.
Yeah, I have a permanent campsite down Taylor's Island. So I'm down there every weekend.
Seek a deer there, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you take these back, once you get them back, you just lay them like a normal fish? Are they bony? What's the inside look like?
So it's a really tough fish to clean. It's you're going to need electric knife. Well, I use an electric knife on bones in my fish, so I take my time. And you go down the back like you would a regular fish, but then when you get to that belly area, you just got to lose that area. So it's kind of shaped like this, where sometimes they'll cut the belly out and you'll have that belly skin in with your fillets and they pull the bones or somehow get the bones. But it's a tough fish, but it's real thick. These fish aren't thin.
Okay.
They're thick, and you get thick fillets off of, just say, a 12-inch one. You're going to get the thickness of a flounder. But then when you get up to 15, 8, 18 pounds, you're getting that thick.
That's a lot of meat.
So you're cutting three. Yeah. So you're cutting like three out of a whole fillet of chunk. But I want to get to the state record thing. So they have a state record for rod and reel. It's like right there at 20 pounds. Bow fishing's at 21 something. I've seen them. I can't prove it, but I've seen state records, and really excited if I'd be able to get one. But I can tell you that I've seen them, and they're just getting bigger. But the state record's growing every year. And
it was just broken with rod and reel.
What's that?
The state record was just broken with rod and
reel. Every year it's getting broken.
Like you said, they just keep getting bigger.
Yeah. The majority of the fish. So I just got back from Disney World, and I'm a little behind, and I see all my buddies out last week when I was in Disney World. I'm saying, I'm down here playing with Mickey Mouse when I should be home shooting these snakeheads. So Thursday night is going down.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, when you cook these things, as far as, you know, the meat, when you finish it off, can you do like a pan fry, smoke? Like what's the best way to do it?
So they have something called snake bites, where they cube it up, they batter it, something like they do with catfish nuggets.
Okay.
So the batter really hides the fishy taste on, say, catfish. So I'm a fillet guy, and I'll either put it on the grill or bake it. Baking it is one of the best, and then smoking is right there with it, where you just get it down to that white flake, and it all depends what you prefer. Like, some people like that batter. You know, if you're out there, called palm food. So my father, you know, he was a waterman here, and he moved out to Illinois because he got some property, big hunter, and it's just not his cup of tea. You know, he calls it pond food out there, frog legs, you know, crappie, bluegill. But we have the Chesapeake Bay here. It's one of the biggest seafood, you know. So he loves coming home, crabbing, you know. He's one of the best. He's taught me, and I'm not nowhere. You know, he's got it pinned down. Fishing, he's just not into that bow fishing.
Gotcha. Well, I know as far as crab goes, I don't know you guys, but, you see all these commercials, and everybody always wants, like, a lobster surf and turf, lobster and steak. I take crab over lobster every day. I think crab is a sweeter meat.
Absolutely.
It's a delicate meat. It's butter on that. I mean, you can't beat that. Lobster, to me, even a good one's a little tough, you know?
Right.
Rubbery.
Yeah,
I'll rubbery. Crab all day long.
Crab all day, baby. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so up north and in Louisiana, they do a boil.
Yeah, don't get Louisiana boy started.
They're ruining them crabs. You need to steam them things. Steam them with some broccoli, some corn. It won't be soggy, and
it's a battle.
Trout line's way to go. But you know, you're out there with the pleasure boat with the kids. You got traps. You're allowed 30 of them, and kids love just pulling traps and then dipping them off a trout line. Big crabber, also myself. Crab during the day, snakehead at night.
Sounds awesome. I was in Newfoundland last year. I think it was September. We were up in Newfoundland hunting bear and moose, and so while there, we did some cod fishing, which was fun, just by hand. It was crazy. Throw it out, they nail it and pull it in at the mouth of the bay. And then we were there, we dredged some scallops. Well, these guys shucking these scallops open big, scallops. And he got a medallion out like that. And he goes, eat it warm. And I looked at the guy that was with me, and I was like, I prefer pan-seared, cooked and buttered. He goes, no, try it. So I popped that sucker in my mouth warm, and it was literally absolutely disgusting. I started dry heaving. I swallowed it.
Hey, did you say raw?
I ate it raw. Yeah, it was like slime. It was like, I'm going to describe what it was. It's probably even appropriate for,
I've not even heard of raw scallops.
It was salty, warm, and disgusting. Salty, warm, and disgusting. But I swallowed it. I was gross, but I did it. I was like, that's it.
Uh,
Gotta be. How about raw oysters? Any of y'all had some raw oysters?
If you
go to,
that's where it's at. I'm telling you. Only eat up in Munchlar. Scallops is one of my favorites. You have bay scallops and you have sea scallops.
Yes, sir.
So your sea scallops come from like an actual shell. And then your bay scallops, we have something here called a stingray. And it's like a cookie cutter. They punch the wings out for bay scallops. But someone that doesn't eat scallops, you're not going to know the difference. But size, the texture. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we took these things. We had a cast iron. We had some moose steak that night, too. So we had a cast iron pan. We seared them in butter, you know, about maybe 30 seconds per side. Man, they just flaked apart, the most bacon wrapped. I mean, it was like, it was heaven. But warm, I can envision it now. I was dry heaving. I mean, his wife ate it. I'm just like, ooh.
That's a total difference.
He's like, be a man, Miller. I'm like,
be a man.
Not boat fishing so far is Ray's. We cut the wings off rays and ate them. It, like you said, the texture is just different. It's a little more stringy.
So,
I think one of my
I think they're good.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things I've had, you know, down, you know, Carolina, soft shell crabs. I just absolutely love soft shell crabs. I mean, I'm like, this is what? And I was like, they're just trying. I couldn't get enough of them. I just was blown away. Absolutely blown away.
A sandwich? So oh, God.
Yes, we're getting into something that, yes, the soft crabs. So I actually, when I crab, I catch something, they're called peelers, and then I have a slough box, and you slough them out. So what happens is, say, every 12 hours, if you get a peeler, you have to check them every tide pretty much, because within 12 hours, one tide, they get to paper shell, and you're not going to be able to eat it. It starts to harden. So a 12-hour window, you got to have someone either checking your slough box or not putting so many in there, and you may lose a few to paper shells, soft crabs. Oh, my goodness. Battered or not battered. They're just great.
Yeah. I fell in love with them. I was like, I'll eat as many as you can make. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I wonder who the first person was, just like fry one of them things up and be like, yep, this is it. Who is the first one to crack open an oyster and be like,
let's eat this crap right now.
Thank you.
It wasn't Josh.
I've been around a few people that there's the legs on the crab, so once you fry it, you know, they're just crispy, the legs. Like, it looks like a spider. So they'll tear the legs off and just eat the body. But the crispiest part is the best part of it. The legs.
That's awesome.
It's like knowing when you get a hog, the best part of the hog is the cheek meat.
Yep. You guys know all about the mustard in the blue crab? When it's more full. It's
the best part.
Yep. That mustard's real sweet. So once they slough out, they're called something like a paper shell. And then right before they slough, I call them the big ones rock crushers. And they're black on the bottom. They're solid. You wouldn't want one to get a hold of you. I can tell you that the rock crush is solid, and that's the ones that are full of the mustard.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we appreciate you coming on tonight, Jeremiah.
Again, appreciate you having me.
Bullfrog Bow Fishing out of Maryland. You know, like us, share it, give us a review. Been on YouTube for a while now and also on all the podcast platforms. And just appreciate you coming on. Can't wait to come down there and try it. This just makes that fishing. So
if you want to look me up on Facebook, it's Bullfrog Bow Fishing. And Outdoor Adventures.
Outdoor Adventures. Okay. Bullfrog Bow Fishing and Outdoor Adventures. All right. Will do. Thanks, Jeremiah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.